Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumor Show. Hartley, good afternoon. It's almost Thanksgiving for us here in the States, which means this next
nothing to me.
I was going to say, which means we get to be gluttonous and eat a lot of food. And I guess it's just another Thursday for you.
Exactly.
Do you have Black Friday out there just due to like global sales?
Yeah, we do now.
Yeah.
So we borrow everything from you. That's just the way it works.
Well, you know, that's fine. You're allowed to borrow the deals. Everyone go grab a TV, you know? Isn't that? But yeah. It's basically just TV shopping at this point. All right. So this week's episode, I kind of wanted to like, we were going to talk about M4 Max, but then we were like, you know what? Let's try to talk about some personal different things. Some things that we've changed up in our lives. Because we were just, you know, casually like, oh, yeah, I did this. I changed this. Like, maybe we should talk about it. And then we had a few good topics here. So we'll start with one of my recent tech changes. And then we'll start with one of yours. Actually, you know what? Let's start with one of yours. What is the one thing that you've changed in your life recently? From a tech standpoint.
So one of the changes has not been a willful change. This has been really not what I wanted to happen. But I've referenced a couple of times over the past few weeks that my AirPods Pro have pretty much completely stopped working. Yeah. And I've been meaning to buy some new ones, but then the AirPods 4 came out and I thought, maybe I should buy those. Do I really want to buy another pair of AirPods Pro right now when there's supposedly going to be the third generation AirPods Pro in the not too distant future? And so I just sort of prevaricated and I couldn't decide if I wanted to get an engraving, and all of this stuff slowed me down. But in the meanwhile, this has meant that I've ended up using the wired earpods, which I'm using right now. And also, I've had to go back to my mortal nemesis, the AirPods Max. So I have now gone from using singularly AirPods Pro to using earpods and AirPods Max, which is an interesting combination.
I just thought you were trying to be like Gen Z cool and hip and wear earpods because like apparently they're all bringing it back. I see it on TikTok all the time. The microphone is
pretty
good.
Gen Z, and the microphone quality is excellent. Any phone call I have had since wearing these, instead of wearing the AirPods Pro, people have commented on just how much better the audio quality is. The AirPods Pro sound terrible. The original AirPods, actually, the mic sounded pretty good. But ever since Apple moved to that slightly shorter stem in 2019, the mics just sound pretty terrible. So, yeah, these are great for the microphone.
People your age still chat on the phone?
Well, FaceTime audio.
Okay. That's a little different. So what are you going to do?
Well, I think I probably will have to buy another set of AirPods Pro because on public transport, it's just not convenient to take the AirPods Max. And obviously wearing the earpods, there's no active noise cancellation. So that is pretty terrible. But other than that, I've actually not hated it because the earpods are great when I'm at my desk, like right now. Because they cause no fatigue. I'm pretty much not aware of them being in. I have to be a little bit careful if I get up really quickly and I forget that I'm actually wired
right
to my studio display. But
everything
the AirPods Max,
down.
I don't know. They are not comfortable. But the more I have been forced to wear them, the more I have come to peace with their fit. So while I still think the case is terrible, while I think that it is terrible how they have been left behind compared to the technology offered in the AirPods Pro 2 and even the AirPods 4, the noise cancellation is very good, the audio quality is excellent, and the battery life is very good. And when I've just been kind of running around my apartment, having these on, listening to some music, it has undoubtedly been a good experience. So it's been good to be pushed out of my comfort zone. It's just a shame my AirPods Pro couldn't quite last more than 2 years.
My apologies if you already said this, but what model was your AirPods Pro? Which is standard. It wasn't the 2s, right? Or was it the 2s without USB-C?
I bought the original AirPods Pro 2 without USB-C when they came out in, I think it was September 2022. And I started to experience issues in September of this year. So just outside of warranty. And
of course.
Yeah, and the issue with them actually is that functionally they still work, They still charge. Everything is pretty much okay, except the right earbud screeches at me. And it is the most painful thing. Yeah. And it happens like 90% of the time. And it screeches so loud that if I take it out of my ear and I just hold it in front of me, I can still hear it just screaming at me.
Can you do it right now for the audience at home?
Will it work? I don't know if it'll do it. I can try. Let's see.
This is Hartley, for those listening in audio, is currently putting the right ear pod into his right ear. I said ear pod, but I meant AirPod.
Of course, now it won't do it.
It's not working
perfectly.
Oh, well, then there you go.
But
congratulations.
It's bad enough that
we have fixed this for you.
Yeah, well, thank you. I will put this to the test later on public transport, but then you bet that the minute I get on that subway train later today, they are going to be screaming at me louder than the train.
Incredible. So did we actually, this is one of those things where I think we mentioned it and then I didn't go to fact check because I forgot. Did we actually figure out whether the USB-C version is the only version that works with the hearing protection and the hearing health features, or is it all AirPods Pro 2? Because remember, USB-C.
Yeah.
Okay. Because remember, USB-C does have a few different features than the regular.
There are a few. So if I remember rightly, it's got slightly improved dust and water resistance, very, very slightly.
And
it's got support for lossless audio because it supports both 2.4 gigahertz and 5 gigahertz connectivity. But that lossless is only with Apple Vision Pro because, of course, it's close enough to the headset that it can provide that. And I don't know how many people are thinking, for my lossless audio experience, I'm going to use Apple Vision Pro. Chances are, if you're an audiophile, you're actually using a different set of over-ear headphones.
Hey guys, just want to let you know this episode of the Mac Rumors Show is sponsored by Public Rec. Now, for those who are watching the YouTube version of this podcast, you may or may not have already noticed half of my outfit, and that's this really nice waffle knit hoodie from Public Rec. I've actually worn clothes from them in the past, so I was super excited when they wanted to sponsor an episode of the podcast because these are some really high quality clothes at a pretty affordable price. Now, you can't see my pants, but these are actually the best part of what Public Rec has to offer. The Daymaker pants absolutely look fantastic, acceptable for nearly any occasion, but they also feel and fit like a pair of joggers to me. They're super stretchy, they have an elastic waist for maximum comfort, just absolutely fantastic. These Daymaker pants come in 10 different colors. I personally went with navy to kind of go with the gray waffle knit hoodie, but I'm telling you right now, these pants are mega comfortable no matter what size you are. So stop suffering in regular pants and give the gift of comfort this holiday season. For a limited time only, our listeners get 20% off when you use code MAC at checkout. That's 20% off with the code MAC, M-A-C, at publicrec.com. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. It would mean a lot. So say goodbye to pants that put up a fight, because when comfort meets style, you found Public Rec. Thanks, Public Rec, for sponsoring this episode. So I wasn't surprised if you would have told me, oh, it only worked with the USB-C model. So that's why I wanted to be clear. Okay, so that's good. We talked about the AirPods, hearing health features. So it's protection and then the test and the hearing aid thing. For the first time yesterday, speaking of the AirPods Pro that you brought it up, I actually used these AirPods Pro at a concert. And for those of you who follow me on Instagram, probably have seen any story that I ever post is usually me at a concert. I go to a lot of them. I used to play music. I used to play shows. And now I just watch them. I thought my ears were horrifically damaged. So when the hearing aid thing came out with the test, I did a test. And it's not as good as others, but it's still within good range. So that's great news for me. But I have been the one who's usually against wearing earplugs, like especially when I was playing a show, I wanted to be able to hear everything and I felt like it muffled too much and I didn't enjoy it, wasn't comfortable. And then going to shows, I kind of felt the same way. Like I want to be able to hear everything, but man, the pain you get when you go to some of these really intimate clubs, like we were at the House of Blues last night, going there and then leaving, it's usually my ears are ringing for the next day and it's just tough. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to make a little video. I'm going to record myself at the show. I'm going to put the AirPods. Well, also I wanted to use earplugs and I just keep forgetting to buy it. So I used them and I was very skeptical about this. But honestly, it worked really, really well to the point where I took out an AirPod for a second and all the noise just comes rushing in. And I was like, oh man, this is way too loud. Like I felt like such an old person. Like turn it down. Like it's so loud in here. How could you guys just sit here without earplugs? So this entire time I bash it and then I finally wear it and I'm like, I don't know that I could go to another show without either proper earplugs or AirPods. And I did the whole thing on the watch where you bring up the noise app and it was right around 65 decibel levels with AirPods. And then there's a little, it says on your watch with AirPods. And then when you tap the little button to like turn them off, it doesn't actually turn them off in your ear, but it just shows you what it would be like without it. And it was right. Like in the 90s and it was really cool. Like, wow, we've went down nearly 30 decibel levels. Like that's incredible. Couple of complaints on my end. Like sometimes like the band that I saw, very dynamic in the sense that it would be like really heavy and loud and then they'd cut to like really quiet parts where it's one single instrument slowing it out. So like it was having a little bit of a hard time trying to adjust to like the noise in the room that was changing. And I almost preferred it when it didn't muffle as much, like when it wasn't isolating and bringing it down as much, because then I can feel like I could hear some of the higher frequencies. But most of, you know, the higher frequencies is probably what's causing most of the damage to your ears anyways. So it's a lot of bass and it's a lot of like muffling those higher, you know, frequencies there, but it works and I can still hear just as, you know, well as I probably should at a concert. So if you are out there and you're like, you know what, I should try these, definitely give it a shot. I think you would like it. Have you ever tried it?
I don't think I have. I mean, there have been situations where, I don't know, I've been using like a power tool or something like a buzzsaw that's super loud and I haven't had any earplugs nearby. So I've used my AirPods Pro, but this is going back since before this feature was really an official feature. I think Apple implemented it because Apple was aware that people were doing stuff like that.
Yeah. So that's the other thing I have to say is like, I know that like when adaptive transparency came out, however long ago, people were doing it and it did. So this feature already technically existed, but I wonder, did Apple actually like when they officially launched this as a feature back in September or whenever it was, did they actually do any improvements to then tailor? Because I wish I would have tried it back then and then tried it again now because I don't have anything to compare it to. Did they actually like try to fix some things to make it tailored for going to loud environments like a concert? Because that's what they showcase in the promo when they do it. It's like a couple of girls playing in a band. So like, obviously they kind of thought about that. So, but yeah, I mean, it works well. And so if you don't want to spend, you know, I mean, earplugs aren't that expensive, but if you get good ones, they can run you like 50, 60 bucks. But if you don't want to spend that, just use your AirPods. It works really well. I did, you know, the whole self-conscious thing is like, is everyone just wondering why I'm sitting there with AirPods at a con? Like, am I just listening to different music while at a show? Like, this guy got dragged against his will, so now he's just listening to something else. I think that part's a little funny, but no, otherwise, it was a pretty good experience. Highly recommend. So what are you gonna do then? Ultimately, I know I asked you this, but like if you had to put a, you know, if you had to make a decision now, would you go AirPods Pro 2 again with USB-C, or would
I
you
think
go the full?
Realistically, what I'm gonna end up doing here is absolutely ridiculous, and I am aware that I am a ridiculous individual. So
am I.
I probably am going to buy another set of AirPods Pro because I miss having that for public transport.
Yeah,
I'm going to buy a set of AirPods 4 because I actually have really got used to having this open ear design, and I would appreciate having that for longer sessions. Like even when we do this, it would be really nice to have something a little bit less constraining than the AirPods Pro. And I might also buy AirPods Max with
USB-C. No, come on. Is that only because of the USB-C port? Or do you want a different color?
These ones that I've got, I've had them since launch. The canopy has collapsed. They're in pretty bad condition. And I quite like the blue. And for flights, these are unrivaled.
Yeah, so they are pretty good.
I'm going to do the absolutely ridiculous Apple fanboy thing of now just going and buying all three sets again.
Wow, this got expensive quick. This went from Oh yeah, my AirPods are broken. You know, I got these ear pods around. I'll just use that for a little bit too.
Yeah, but you see, this is how I justify it to myself. I just need the excuse, right? Because my single set of AirPods Pro have stopped working. I now need three new sets of AirPods, Dan. That's just how it works.
I guess so. Yeah.
It makes perfect sense.
I should try to explain that to my wife. I don't know if she'll agree. Well, speaking of music and everything, one of the things that I have done recently, and I think we've mentioned this, left little breadcrumbs throughout the last few episodes, but I made a switch to Apple Music as a longtime Spotify person. Well, I guess I should say I attempted to make the switch to Apple
Music. Oh, no. I don't like where this is going.
Yeah, I will. I'll give you the ending, and then we'll go back in time, Quentin Tarantino style, and we'll start at the beginning. But I have since switched back to Spotify.
No,
I know, but I don't know why. I think it was because you literally told me just to do it, and I did it. And I was like, fine, I will. So I removed the app from my home screen. I put Apple Music back on there. I downloaded Songkick, I believe it is. No, it's not Songkick.
Yeah.
Oh, no, is it Songkick?
It's
Songshift.
It's yes, that's it.
Songshift. Yeah. Anyways, I downloaded that app and I fully moved everything over from Spotify to Apple Music. And I wonder if that contributed to some of the things that I didn't like. So let's just get this out of the way. Obviously, the UI, the audio quality, all of that is infinitely better, in my opinion, than Spotify. I will give it that. The library is probably better for most people. You said you are a ridiculous individual when it comes to buying all of these AirPods. I'm a ridiculous individual in that I think what I want kind of contradicts each other sometimes. What I want in my library is like, I don't even know how to explain it, but like in some cases I have, and this is part of the problem, is I had iTunes library already existing. You know, I was paying for iTunes Match, right? And so I stopped that, but I still had all that music that I downloaded over the years of being a kid and growing up, and like all the things that I've accumulated before we had every song at our fingertips for a monthly subscription. Like that just didn't happen. So I had that, and then it's like also the things I found on Apple Music that I added. So I don't like the way those two kind of play with each other, in the sense that like, okay, so I add let's just think of an artist that everybody knows, Queen,
the Beatles.
Okay, the Beatles. I picked one English band. I'll go to another. Okay, the Beatles. Let's say I had Sergeant Pepper's, right? But I only liked one song from Sergeant Pepper's. That's what I had.
Completely unrealistic, Dan.
Well, shut up. Just for the sake of this, okay? Just hear me out here. You're right. That is a great album, but I only wanted one song, or I only had one song from my iTunes library in the past, right? And right. Then I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm going to listen to that album. I go into the library and there's only that one song. That's annoying. At least maybe gray out the rest of the album, but show it there, and then make it as easy as like a, because it does say show complete album, but then it takes you away from that. I wish there was just like a one click option where it's like, here it is, I've added the whole thing. Or I don't know, but see, like, I know most people probably wouldn't want that. They'd want just the songs, but I am an album, like, purist. So if I ever find a song from a band that, like, oh, I only like this one song because it's the one that I heard, I want to add that song, but I also want the whole album that it's a part of so that I know to go back and check out that later. Like, leave a little star to distinguish that this is the one that you ended up liking. That's totally fine with me, but put the rest of it there so I know it's there, and I don't have to go, like, hunting through and trying to find stuff, you know, multiple clicks. I don't know. Maybe it just needs more than like a few weeks time of getting used to. But that was one thing that kind of bothered me.
I think that's valid.
The playlists are still bad, man. I'm sorry. They're just not. It's not as good. And the biggest thing that I really didn't like is that I think the new music recommendations of what comes out every Friday is not up to date. Like it's not. It doesn't seem like this is the current stuff that came out this Friday. Like, oh, no, here's one song. For. Yeah, well, that's not what in Spotify, there's a release radar playlist, and it shows you all of the bands that you like, or artists that you like, and it shows their newest songs that came out that day every Friday. And then once you've gone past that, the bottom portion of that playlist is like, oh, hey, maybe here's some stuff from last week that you missed. So like, show me the stuff at the top first. That's what I want to see.
Hey guys, just want to let you know this episode is also sponsored by Notion. There are tons of AI tools out there these days, but I feel like none of them are truly as useful or help boost productivity. Now, Notion and its Notion AI, however, now that is something I use, honestly, constantly to get stuff done, and I'm discovering new things more and more as I use it. Notion combines your notes, docs, and projects into one space that's simple and beautifully designed. And with the new Notion AI, it has capabilities of multiple AI tools built right in, which means you can search, generate, analyze, and chat all inside of Notion. Now, I use Notion on a daily basis for writing scripts, managing tasks across various team members, podcast planning, and so much more. In fact, I just discovered a new way, which I'm kind of embarrassed about because I should have been doing this so much earlier. But when I write a script inside of Notion, I then ask AI to generate a shot list based on the script. So it'll just give me a full breakdown of all the shots that I should have. And that is so helpful sometimes that I don't have to actually go through again and reread the script and make sure that I am covering all of my bases for B-roll. If you're worried about privacy, don't be. Notion AI is designed to protect your privacy. Notion's AI partners are contractually prohibited from using your data to train their AI models. And Notion AI respects the permissions of your content, so will only reference content that you have access to. So try Notion for free when you go to notion.com/macrumors. That's all lowercase letters. Notion.com/macrumors to try the powerful, easy-to-use Notion AI today. And when you use our link, you're supporting our show, which we greatly appreciate. So that's notion.com/macrumors. Thanks, Notion, for sponsoring this episode.
Maybe that gap, just a weird thing.
That is a good feature that Apple Music lacks. I personally like the new music mix, but the new music mix is not meant to be new music. It is meant to be new to you.
I thought it was new, like, releases.
Yeah, it's not releases. It's just music that you may not have heard, but music that you may like. So it's similar. I mean, I accept that this is Apple Music's weak point, is the recommendations and the auto-generated playlists. They are good enough for me because I have such a vast library anyway that I can just look at the browse tab and see my upcoming releases, new releases, and I get good enough use from the radio stations and the selection of auto-generated playlists as well. They are just about good enough for me, but I know that Spotify is better for this, especially for discovering new music.
Yeah, the radio stations were good. It's just like, I just feel like Spotify does a better job of updating the songs in that radio station. Like, if I put on an iTunes or an Apple Music radio station, I feel like I'm going to know that, like, what comes after what after so many times of listening to the same. Because oftentimes I'll, like, you know, what was the last one? Was, like, Motion City Soundtrack. I did that as a artist radio station, and I could tell you what was going to come after because it just kept repeating the same thing every time I restarted it. And I just didn't love that. But I do really like the way the whole app looks, and like obviously the sound quality, any Dolby Atmos that you get just sounds incredible. But I don't know. I went back to Spotify, and then, you know, it was weird. It's like, I came back to Spotify for the first time, and honestly, I think I gave it like 3 weeks, almost a month that I did this, and I used it every day. On all devices. That is one thing that is really enjoyable, is that you know, it is a built-in Apple app. So anytime I got a new Mac over this last month, or new iPad, or whatever came out, like, it was just there. I didn't have to go and download Spotify. I didn't have to go log in. Like, it's just there, which is nice. But yeah, with Spotify, I went back to it, and I almost had, like, I don't know what the correct saying is for this, but I had some weird, like, oh, this actually looks really good. Like, I missed this layout and this design, and I missed the way all of this looked, even though that was one of the biggest complaints that I had before. I did switch, but I did just recently switch back.
I think that they both, in reality, they are both very strong platforms, and it just comes down to personal listening habits and what you've got used to as well, because I think it's incredibly difficult if you've been using one of these platforms for 5 years, maybe even nearly 10 years at this point. And then you want to make the switch, because they are conceived in different ways. So I've been using Apple Music since, I believe, about 2016. And I've never been a long-term Spotify user. So my way of thinking about using a music streaming app is just so locked into Apple Music that when I moved to Spotify and I didn't really have a library that was constructed in the same way, it was missing these features. Like, I like to be able to go to an artist and see only the songs from that artist that I have added to my library. You can't do that in Spotify. And so It's
wait,
it's,
repeat it's, that. Repeat that again. What can't you do? So, I'm going to check this.
If I want to add, so let's say I like George Harrison, if we're keeping on our Beatles okay. theme.
If we're going Beatles, yeah.
But I don't have every single George Harrison song in my library because there are some that I don't like so much. So if I want to shuffle the George Harrison songs that are exclusively in my library, as far as I know, it is not possible to do that in Spotify. You can shuffle the entire artist, but you can't shuffle what is specifically in my library unless I create a playlist, which I don't need to do because it's just that artist's contributions to my library. And that is something that's very important to me and is essential to how I listen to music. So it's to a large extent, it's what you get used to, I think. The reality is that there probably are features that both platforms have to gain from the other. Apple Music absolutely should step up its discoverability, its algorithmic playlists. And it has been doing this, in fairness. Roughly maybe every quarter, there have been new Apple Music features, new radio stations, and more personalization that is getting it there. We've even had these new features like Crossfade in recent years. And even better playlist sorting.
Ooh, I will say, Crossfade is really nice. Actually, going back to Spotify, and then a song just ends, and there's like a little bit of silence. But I'm like, oh, what happened?
Spotify has Crossfade.
Oh, do I have to turn that on? It's not on by default. On by default. Well, that's good. See, I never look into the settings for anything.
That was one thing that I always really liked about Spotify that bothered me with Apple Music, because I love Crossfade. But it's the basic idea of how the libraries work, because for anyone listening, the basic way that Apple Music works is you add songs to your library, and your library exists as it would exist if it was vinyl records, where you actually have the albums in their own location, and you can look through those songs within those albums that are yours. That's why you can look through the genres or the artists, because they exist in their own space. But Spotify, you like songs, and when you like them, it adds them to their own liked playlist. But the library does not exist in it in the same way.
And I don't like that.
Just like tracks.
I don't
like
that.
Great. But for me, I've got about 15,000 songs in my library now. I would hate that if it was just stuff I had liked. And I enjoy leafing through my albums. So that works well for me. But again, it's really up to you and what you get used to. It would actually be nice to see them converge a little bit more and borrow some features from each other.
Yeah. Also, another feature that I didn't... There's two things. One, you guys are going to laugh at me and say how contradicting of what, you know, what you just said earlier. But we'll start with that one. Podcasts, right? So I didn't like that the podcasts were in Spotify because I just thought there was too much. Now they have audiobooks. It's too cluttered. I don't want to see that. I want them separated into its own app. So I switched to Apple Music, in which the podcasts are separated into a podcast app. Guess how many podcasts I listened during that time? Zero. Guess how many podcasts I listened when I have them right there in front of me being recommended by Spotify? Yeah, I remember to listen to them then, because I'm like, oh yeah, a new episode dropped of this. I can go listen to it. So I guess I understand why it's all in one app. I still don't love it, but that's the only way I would listen to it. The other thing is Spotify incorporates events. So if a band I like is coming to town, that'll be like in the artist page, and I'll get notifications saying, hey, this band's coming. And sometimes I find out well before the tickets go on sale so that I can easily grab them. And that's important to me. And now there's like its own little events tab where you just swipe over and you can see their tour, and your location is always at the top. So you know, if they're coming, which is great. And you just don't get that in Apple Music. So just little weird things that I've kind of gotten used to that I can't really, like, I guess live without, is the reason why I ended up switching back. But like you said, they're both great apps. I don't think there's anybody out there like at this point in their life trying to decide which one to get. I would imagine you've probably tried them both. So would love to hear from you. If you are one that you're just not completely platform agnostic to, then let me know.
They each have their own strengths. There's also other stuff that we've not mentioned, like Apple Music Classical. So if you're into your classical music, there's no doubt that Apple Music's going to provide a better experience. Likewise, if you're an audiophile, the ability to plug in and get lossless or spatial audio with your AirPods, these are good features. But Spotify, if you're a more transient listener to music and you enjoy listening to music more like a radio station, Spotify's the best platform for that sort of listening.
And I don't. So I don't understand why. I mean, like, I do now, but like when I grew up, like I listened to albums in its entirety and I still like to do that. But oftentimes now for these quick road trips, it's like my ADD is just catching up to me and I'm like, just give me either a playlist of the new stuff or I just want to listen to this artist. Give me a playlist because I don't feel like trying to make a decision on what I want to listen to. But in my brain, I'm like, yeah, I should still listen to this full album. All right. So that's what I did. What was the other thing that you had that you made a recent change with?
Yeah. So this is also another change I've not made consciously, but something I've been really happy with. And I think it has sort of flown under the radar and really people have not been talking about this enough, which is the battery life improvement on the iPhone 16 Pro. I felt ridiculous, really, upgrading from the iPhone 16 Pro. We've discussed this before. So I upgraded from the iPhone 15 Pro to the iPhone 16 Pro, which is a minor upgrade. So I get camera control, which I don't use. I get the 48 megapixel ultra wide, which I very, very rarely use. And you also get slightly thinner bezels. You get the A18 Pro. I've noticed no improvement in performance, obviously. Very few features. But the battery life improvement has been incredible. And my battery life on the iPhone 15 Pro got to the point where I was so extensively using these Anker MagSafe battery packs. And I had a big one for when I was at home and a little thin one that would fit in my pocket when I would go out because I just had to develop this system because my phone just would not last more than like maybe 7 hours on a full charge, which was ridiculous. Now I just don't ever use these batteries because my phone now easily lasts a whole day. It has been the best upgrade. So while I did feel a little bit silly for getting effectively the same phone again, that has made a really noticeable difference. And I have way less battery anxiety now. And there have been situations where I've just got home after maybe being away for the weekend and I haven't charged my phone for maybe a full 24 hours. And just as I've got home, my phone has died. And I've thought, if I was not on the iPhone 16 Pro, if I still had my 15 Pro, how would I even have got home in the same way? So absolutely, although that cost me a few hundred pounds to do that, absolutely was worth it.
What's your day-to-day looking like when you use your phone? Like, what's draining your battery so much? Are you using apps for public transport a lot, like maps and stuff?
Yeah, so I use that. I also listen to music or podcasts or audiobooks all the time.
That really does drain it quite a bit.
And I obviously am just glued to it in terms of scrolling or reading or whatever. I am always on my phone. I am not detached from it. You will see me just walking around with it in my hand at all times. If it is not in the same room as me, I feel stressed. So that battery
Harley,
is...
We need to have a talk about that.
Yeah. You've seen this firsthand.
I'm also kind of the same way. I don't know that I would describe it as much as you, but I don't think that I'm that far off in the sense that, like, I don't know that I feel stressed that it's not in the same room, but I would definitely go and get it if I know that it's not with me, depending on what I'm doing. I have kids, so it's a little bit easier for me to like leave it somewhere and forget for a moment in time. But then the moment that you have a little bit of like, oh, nothing's happening, there's no stimulation,
yeah,
and you go to reach in your pocket and it's not there, you're like, oh, I need that. It's like nicotine. I need that hit. I have become a crackhead at this point and I just need to go and get my phone, which, by the way, little segue, we'll talk about it in a minute. So I'm glad you brought this up, but I want to get some more info out of this from you. So you're no longer needing a battery pack. Are you charging at all your phone throughout the day? Like just like at your desk or anything?
I have a MagSafe, a Belkin MagSafe charger on my desk, which I use to charge while I'm at my desk. I don't charge my phone overnight. I just throw my phone on
you
that.
You don't charge your phone overnight.
It's not necessary.
What kind of human are you?
I work from home, Dan. So
yeah, but
like I wake up in the morning and I come and sit at my desk here and I put my phone on charge and then it sits there in standby mode all day. When it's obviously not in my hand that I'm using it. So it yeah, that's how I charge. I don't really think about it very much, but this is a complete change for me because before there was so much battery anxiety. And the battery life improvement to the iPhone 16 Pro is the biggest battery life improvement I can actually remember going through every generation of iPhone since, I don't know, when my first iPhone, which was the iPhone 12.
Sure. Maybe I don't need to charge. I guess I don't need to charge my phone. See, that's where my stress comes from. If I don't start the day with 100% battery, I am stressed. Like, but you're right. I go in my car where I have a pretty fast charger. If I use my USB-C cord, like, I'm fine. I then go sit at my desk at the office where I have a pretty fast MagSafe charger right there and can put it in standby. So you're right. Maybe I don't need to do that. Definitely I don't even need to do my watch either, really. If it was just getting low on battery, I just put it on the charger.
I mean,
maybe I could get rid of that stuff off my nightstand.
The optimized battery charging features work so well that it doesn't really matter. And honestly, I have come unstuck with this because, like I mentioned that morning when I got back and I just ran out of battery when I got home, that was because I had not charged it before I went out. So while I'm not encountering battery issues now in terms of my phone actually dying, that doesn't mean that I'm not letting it run a little bit uncomfortably low sometimes because of my own charging habits. But
sure.
Ultimately, the 16 Pro was absolutely worth the upgrade for me from the 15 Pro, singularly for this feature. Fair credit to Apple that without actually increasing the thickness of the phone, yes, it's slightly bigger. You know that when we discussed it over the past 18 months, I said to you the whole time, oh, I don't know how I feel about the phone getting bigger. I wish it would stay the same size. And while I wish it had, to fit that slightly larger battery has been worth it for me. So Apple made a good decision there.
All right. So a good segue into this and the last change that I've made is that I actually made the switch from a 16 Pro Max down to the standard 16 Pro. And I've probably done it for about a week now. And first, I don't know that I'm a great person to am I really doing it when I do have a 16 Pro Max just sitting at my office waiting for me to come back to it if I want to? Like, it's not a full detached switch, you know, because I do have the privilege of being able to just easily go back into it if I want to. So it's a little more carefree in that, but I'm trying and I've been using it. I've switched all my Apple Watches are over to it. So it's like fully there. I don't know how I feel. Like, yeah, the size is great. And then I can put it in my pocket and not feel like I have this giant brick in there in comparison. It's still a big phone, but it's not nearly as big. It's way more portable. But I often find me bringing the phone closer to my face.
Right.
Like, am I getting blind or was I just like really into the Pro Max and how big that screen was? Like, obviously the text is just smaller. I don't know why I was not expecting that, but the text is just smaller. So I'm like putting it closer to my face. Like,
make the text bigger. This.
No, that's the first sign of becoming a super old person. Yeah, I have people's dads walking around here with that giant text on the message. You know what I'm talking about. I can't do that yet. I'm not there yet. Okay. I'm not there. So,
You're there though, Dan. It does kind of sound like that.
Shut up, Hartley. The other thing is the battery life. Like, you're raving about the battery, and I'm over here like, yeah, this ain't as good as the Pro Max. But I am pleasantly surprised. Obviously, it's not as good as the Pro Max, but I am pleasantly surprised in which that I probably charge throughout the day the same amount that I would for my Pro Max. Honestly, I feel like the battery to me kind of feels not that far off to where I can get through in a day if I'm not going crazy on it. And my charging habits are weird in which, like, if I'm coming home from work and I'm at like 40 to 50%, I'll probably throw it on the charger just so that when I get home, I'm at like a good 70. And then that obviously is more than enough for me to last throughout the day. And then through the night, I probably could just not charge. And then in the morning I could charge again. So that's probably what I should do. So it's been good, but like, I don't know. I kind of miss the big screen, and I've picked up the Pro Max at my office, like just kind of in passing, and picked it back up. And I'm like, ooh, this feels good. Like, I don't know what it is. I want to come back to it. So I will say this will probably end up, you know, spoiler, a lot like the Apple Music thing, in which I'll probably go back.
But yeah. Also, one funny story is a friend of mine, he just recently got the Sierra, what is it? The Desert Titanium. Yes. Desert Titanium. And he looked at me and he's like, in this lighting, it kind of looks pink. Like, does this look pink to you? And I'm like, no, man, it's fine. Like, it doesn't look pink to me. It's just like gold. Maybe a little shade, but I think it's fine. And I had the same color as him. And then the next time I saw him, I have this white Pro. And he's like, dude, are you kidding me? You switched? Like, what are you doing? He's like, you told me it was fine. He's sitting here self-conscious about the color. And then I end up switching. That made me laugh. That was not the reason why. This is mostly for an experiment. So those were just a couple of the tech changes that I had and Hartley had as well. Don't laugh at me because I've just done this three times. but maybe we should do like a challenge episode, Hartley. Like, we have some people reach out and tell us what kind of changes that we should maybe forcefully try.
Oh, no,
I think that'd be fun.
Can't try that, Dan. People will say to us stuff like,
switch to Android,
use your iPad all day for work. Like,
oh,
I don't hate myself that much.
Oh, that is a change I've recently done. I've switched to an iPad mini as like my main travel iPad. That's not that crazy, but.
Yeah, travel iPad's okay. There's no way I'm going to use my iPad Pro all day for work.
No,
I have tried that many times, and that is not happening again.
I've used the iPad mini as like my main iPad. So I bought a little keyboard with it. This is for a video, by the way. This is for the full review. I wanted to see how it would be with a keyboard, like using it as my main iPad. You know, usually it's the iPad Pro, whether it be the gigantic one or the smaller one. But like, yeah, we should do this. We should get... Right now, if you're still here, and then we'll bring this up again in the future. Right now, if you're still here, leave a comment, hit us up in any way you can, and let us know one thing that we should switch to, or we should try for like a week, and we'll then have a whole episode talking about our experience. I think Android is going to be the biggest thing. I guarantee you. All right, we'll catch everybody in the next episode. Thank you.